June Chapman, CEO of Citizens Advice at Auburn's, has been a frequent contributor to local life during the lockdown, and I'm very grateful to her for that. The offices, of course, of Citizens Advice were closed when the lockdown was started because of the social distancing requirement, and so we helped her to promote the telephone service. June, welcome, first of all. Welcome back.
Thanks, Rob. Nice to be back.
How's the telephone system gone? How's it been working as an alternative to face-to-face?
Fairly well. We're quite pleased with the numbers of people that have managed to learn about the local landline and have contacted us through it. In fact, from time to time, we have had more people calling than we've been able to help on the same day. So occasionally we will ask people to call back during the next session. We don't want to build up queues because it's really important that we're able to speak to somebody and call them back on the same day to make sure that their circumstances are as they've described to us. So we're quite pleased overall. We've not been helping quite as many people during the COVID period as we were able to previously. The inquiries are taking a little longer for the advisors to work through because we can't see people's documents. So we haven't got letters in front of us. And communicating with people when you're not able to read their body language is a bit more difficult.
Yes, as the listeners will realise, we're not sitting down in the same studio as we would do in ideal times. We're communicating over the internet and doing the best we can.
Indeed.
It's not easy. It's not easy, as we've just discovered, but we got here in the end.
Yes.
Jean, your offices are actually partially open now, are they?
We have paid staff and volunteers using the office because some of our staff and volunteers found it really quite difficult working from home with children that they were homeschooling or sharing desks where other members of the household were also having to work from home. So back in late July, we made the offices COVID secure. We had to do all the risk assessments and the cleaning regime and set up hand sanitising stations and take some of the desks out of action to ensure that people were sufficiently far apart. And then we made the offices available for paid staff and volunteers who found it easier to serve by coming into the office. And we had a small number of people who wanted to do that. And that went on for about 6 weeks. And in the last week or two, we've been encouraging more of the paid staff and volunteers to come in and use the office so that they can meet up with former colleagues and support one another more in person. Very much more enjoyable to be able to share knowledge and support with others in the office. And we are hoping that within a few more weeks that we will reach the sorts of levels of attendance of staff and volunteers that would enable us to reintroduce clients, or at least those for whom a telephone service is really not the answer. So people who perhaps have difficulties with hearing or with reading or with using the internet, or who don't have access to computers or telephone lines. But yes, I shall be coming back to you to ask you to tell everybody about that when we're ready.
But at the moment, people should still telephone.
Indeed, yes. Our local landline 01727 811 118 is open 10 till 4 Monday through Thursday and Friday morning until 1 o'clock. And it's pretty typical for us to be getting something like 10 calls every morning and 10 calls every afternoon. And we have the advisors who are logged on at home with secure laptops who will then be passed the client's details very securely and will telephone people back to try to help them.
In the early weeks of lockdown, you raised a number of issues that people were facing. These were ones that you'd had to most frequently ask questions, as it were. And that was about universal credit and about furlough, which was complicated. Many people had never experienced furlough before, and rental problems. Now, the one that you're concerned about at the moment is the one, and it's quite an auspicious week in which to be raising this, is redundancy.
Yeah.
What do you think of you think we've got a lot of it coming down the line?
Well, yes, the furlough scheme is coming to an end, and the law says that for firms who have a lot of employees that they need to make redundant, they have to give a consultation period, which effectively means that if they want to make people, a lot of people, more than 100, redundant on the 1st of November, then today, in fact, the 16th of September, is the day when they will start to have to do a collective consultation. So, yes, sadly, we are expecting that there will be firms who are in that position, and we're expecting that there will be employees who will be getting those consultation notices today.
Yeah, that's for the, that's where a firm wants to make a significant, over 100, as you say. When it's a smaller number, if it's a firm wants to make 20 or so, then there's less advance notice required. The consultation can come later, can't it?
That's right, yes.
But if the firm wants to make one or two, there's no consultation period. How does that work?
So if you're one of only one or two employees, then do give us a call, because that's one of the things that we could look into for you. If you want to have a look at the information yourself before calling us, if you have access to the internet, you can go to citizensadvice.org.uk, type in redundancy, and there's an enormous amount of information available to you there. You can put your own circumstances in and read through. But certainly don't hesitate to call us, because our advisors are going to be too pleased to run through your particular circumstances.
Now, I guess there are some particular tips that, I mean, you've got experience across the country, across the whole of the UK, dealing with these issues. What are the key things that somebody who's facing redundancy or the possibility of redundancy needs to think about?
We've got a press release at the moment this week that's getting quite a lot of coverage, which is 7 top tips. If you think you're at risk of redundancy, 7 things to be thinking about and to be checking. So I'll share those with you. But you can also find them on that link, citizensadvice.org.uk. So the first thing to mention is to check whether your redundancy is fair, because there are regulations that require employers to only make people redundant when it's fair to do so. And there are certain circumstances which amount to an automatic unfair dismissal, and those are things like being pregnant or being on maternity leave. So the first thing to check is what the reason for you being selected for redundancy is. Also, for example, if you've been picked because you are a part-time worker or because you've made a complaint about something to do with health and safety, that could be discriminatory and would mean that your redundancy may not be fair. So that's the first thing to check. The second thing to check is how much redundancy pay you are being offered, because there is a statutory amount of redundancy pay, and there's a complicated way to work that out, but it's based on you having been employed by the same company for 2 years at the minimum, and the amount that you get will depend partly on how long you've worked for the company and also your age at the time when you're to be made redundant. So a lot of small employers are not very familiar with these complicated redundancy provisions, and it's fairly understandable that they may get them wrong. So again, it's worth having a look either online at citizensadvice.org.uk or giving us a call on 01727 811 118 to have us check redundancy pay amount with you. The third of the 7 points is, if you've been furloughed, you will have got used to being paid 80% of your wages, and some employers may not realise that they need to calculate your redundancy pay at your 100% salary level. So that's been a common mistake that we've seen some employers make, so that's another thing to check. The fourth thing to look at is your notice period, because if you've worked for your employer for at least a month, you'll be entitled to a paid statutory notice period. An employer may well not realise how long that can be. So for 2 years or more, it's 1 week for each full year that you've worked, up to a maximum of 12 weeks. So if you've been with your employer for a long time, then your notice period may be considerable. So that, again, that's something to look up or to check with us. There are complications such as how part years are counted. The fifth thing to check is your holiday pay. Obviously, you're in whenever the redundancy notice is issued, you will be partway through a holiday year, and there may be holiday that you have accrued an entitlement to that you haven't yet taken. And so your employer may need to pay you in lieu of the holiday that you haven't yet taken. So again, that's something to check carefully. The sixth point in our seven is that you might be entitled to paid time off to look for work. Reasonable time off is the way that it's described to apply for jobs or go on training. And that is time off in any normal working hours. And your employer can't ask you to arrange your work hours to make your time off. So if you're invited to an interview, then you're entitled to go and be paid while you're doing that. And the last thing, which might seem a strange thing to suggest, but it's to check whether you've got legal help through your home insurance policy, because many home insurance policies these days have an add-on of a legal expenses cover. And if you have legal expenses cover, you might be able to get a solicitor to help you to challenge your redundancy if you think that it is discriminatory or unfair. And also coming within that category, the last point about how to get legal help, if you're a trade union member, often they will be able to provide you with some legal help to challenge the redundancy. So there's quite a lot there that I've rattled through. Again, it's all available on the internet, but I'm aware that many people don't have access to the internet. So if you don't, but anything that I've said you think may apply to you and you'd like some more help, then please do call us. In fact, we've got quite a lot of advisors with us this morning. We have our newest group of recruits who joined at the beginning of the year. Have joined today to start doing their first calls. They've had lots of training since January, 8.5 months worth of training. So they'll be very pleased to pick up the phone and answer your queries.
Well, June, I hope they're not all sitting around watching you record this.
No, they're not. I'm in the office today and there are seven of us in the office today. But I think we do a daily briefing by Zoom. And so there were seven of us in person in the office, and I think there were another 10 or 11 people at home, each at home in their separate houses, logging on using their secure laptops. I know they're definitely not sitting looking at me.
And your offices, of course, are in the Civic Centre, aren't they? That's the right in the heart of the city.
That's right. Yes, we are. And the Civic Centre is closed, as you probably know, apart from the NHS clinic, which is doing lots of work. I've seen lots of children coming in to have vaccinations, which is a great idea at the moment, because obviously we want to do whatever we can for all of us to stay as healthy as possible.
And you're hoping to welcome visitors in a few weeks' time.
We are, yes. We're working through a whole load of health and safety things. We've had things on order, like a foot-operated hand sanitising pump, and we've got Perspex screens on order, and we're looking at fitting an intercom to the door so that people don't have to be standing too close or speaking in the same sort of airspace, which would breach the regulations. When people are coming into the NHS clinic, they're being asked to wear a mask. So we anticipate that we will ask visitors to wear a mask when they come in, although we will probably be wearing visors, because we know that a lot of people who we can't help very well over the telephone, it's because they have hearing loss and need to lip read. So we've got some Perspex visors on order for our advisors to help the people that we absolutely can't help over the telephone when we are open again to clients in person.
Well, June, it's fantastic service. And those 7 points are very useful. These are very difficult times for all of us. And then to be made redundant on top of that, or to be afraid that it might happen, is pretty awful. And so I think those 7 points are very helpful. Most of those I'd never thought of. So many things you don't think of. When you get into a bit of a panic because it's all going wrong,
yes,
you sort of miss the point, don't you? That's
yes,
where it's so useful.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's what our training does, because really it is legal advice that we're giving. So we need to be able to make sense of, well, they're quite complicated employment law issues. So, yeah, it's worthwhile talking to somebody who has access to all of that training and can help explain it. I guess the final thing I should say, Rob, though, is that people who might be faced with a threat of redundancy will be worried about how they're going to manage financially. And on the citizensadvice.org.uk website, there are a number of benefit calculators that people can use themselves if they are not wanting to share their sort of most intimate finances with someone. Then there's something called Turn to Us, which is turn and then the number two and then us with no spaces. And then there's another one called Entitled To. And there's a third one called Policy in Practice. And those are all benefit calculators that you can use online. And they take you through a series of questions asking you to fill in your income and expenditure, and they will let you know, according to your circumstances, whether there are any welfare benefits that you might be entitled to that you're not already claiming, or whether it might be possible for you to claim an enhanced rate of something that you're already in receipt of. And if you've done one of those and you think you would like to get confirmation that you're on the right track, then do by all means call us and we can run through it to make sure that there's nothing that you've missed.
June, I hate to cut you off because it's also important, but we're going to run out of time.
Yeah, great.
We'll be talking again soon, I suspect.
I expect so. Thanks very much, Rob.
Thank you very much, June.